The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, experts are warning that the use of sunbeds can drastically increase the risk of skin cancer, even after one use. Joining me now to talk about the risks and what to watch out for is Dr. Shane Redmond, who is Medical Director of the Rose Clinic. Shane, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you for having me.
Now, how common is skin cancer and the different forms? I mean, there are melanomas, which are potentially fatal, and then there are basal cell carcinomas, which can be treated fairly simply.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the moment, we know that skin cancer is the fastest growing cancer in Ireland. It's certainly doubled in its numbers since the 90s. On average, at the moment, there's about 13,000 new cases every single year, and about 10% of those are melanoma. So roughly over 1,000 cases of new melanoma every single year in this country. And the National Cancer Registry of Ireland actually expects that number to double again by 2040. So it's certainly on the rise. Yeah.
Now, why would that be so? Is it all the sun holidays people are taking?
Yes, I think, you know to some extent it certainly is. I think we're more mobile than we ever have been. We're going on more sun holidays than we ever have been. But there is this elephant in the room of these artificial sunbeds. They're certainly becoming more prevalent, not only in this country, but around the world. And since their introduction, I believe in the US, they were introduced in the 70s. And in this country, probably a little bit later on, there's been a sharp increase in the incidence of all types of skin cancer.
Now, the question of how do you distinguish between what might have been caused by a sunbed and what might be caused by nature. I mean, there are many, I believe, outdoor workers who come down with some sort of skin cancer.
Correct.
Who'd never would have seen a sunbed.
Absolutely correct. UV radiation is UV radiation. It doesn't matter where you get it from. I guess the important thing to differentiate between our natural sunlight versus these artificial tanning beds it's to do with the different types of UV and the proportions or the intensity of the UV light. So very quickly to break it down, natural sunlight is made up of, it gives off UVA, UVB, and there's another UVC, but that is absorbed by our atmosphere. 95% of the sunlight is UVA. You can remember UVA and B as in A for aging and B for burning. So UVA is a longer wavelength type of UV that penetrates deeper into the mid layer of the skin. So it's associated with your fine lines and your wrinkles and your loss of collagen in the skin. But it is also associated with skin cancer and more particularly melanoma. UVB, as we said, B for burn. So that's a shorter wavelength type of UV. And it penetrates a little bit more, kind of, it only hits really the top layer of the skin. And it's when you're out in the sun and you get that acute burn to your skin, that's really the UVB at effect. But UVB is also strongly associated with DNA damage at the cellular level in the skin and therefore leading to skin cancer. But the main thing to note is that the intensity of the UV light with these sunbeds, there's a lot more UVA, number one, with the artificial sunbeds. And number two, they've shown studies that some of these sunbeds give off up to 15 times the levels of UVA radiation than natural sunlight. There was a study done in the UK a few years back. They audited 400 sunbeds and 90% of them were up to six times higher in dangerous UVA radiation.
Mm. I would have thought that the use of sunbeds would be on the decline with fake tan.
Yes.
I mean, whatever a sunbed might produce, it's some sort of a natural looking tan, whether it's damaging or not and aging or not.
Yeah.
Fake tan is so fake. It's
it
like
can
fake
be.
News.
It certainly can be. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So I would have thought that people, though, would be embracing fake tan to avoid the sunbed.
Yeah, you would think so. I think there's an element of, number one, not that I'm a user of fake tan myself, but, number one, it's probably a bit of a nuisance to put on and it wears off quickly. There's an also element of, using these tanning beds, there is research to show that it gets addictive. There is an effect in the body where it does tend to give off endorphins, those feel-good chemicals within the body. And, that and plus, we're in the advent of social media. Everybody is under increasing pressure to look their best. Everybody wants to look the absolute best they can. And unfortunately, they've associated this, this glow, this healthy glow, this tan skin to, the picture of health and wellness. But unfortunately, what people fail to realize is that any type of tan skin essentially is damaged skin. So we really need to factor that and take that into account. So I would absolutely be an advocate of fake tan over artificial tanning beds, for sure.
Okay, now some people, they'll wear fake tan and then go out in the sun because they want to look tanned
yes.
before they start tanning.
Yes.
And that might disguise some of the burning that's happening.
It can. To be quite honest with you, I'm not entirely sure of the proponents that make up the fake tan. As far as I'm aware, they don't contain
sunblock.
Okay, so you're absolutely correct in saying that they could potentially mask some of the effects of a suntan or a sunburn. But hopefully you know yourself. You know, there's a thing called your own personalized tanning time. You know yourself when you're kind of getting past that limit of tanning into burning. So hopefully you'd be diligent with that. But another important point to note about that is, people like to sometimes use artificial sunbeds before they go on holidays and they say, I'm going to build up a base tan and that's going to protect me from getting mm-hmm. burned going forward. But there's two points to that. Number one, that really, it does have a small effect, but it's only really equal to about an SPF of 4. Okay, when you think of SPF, you think of SPF of 15s, 30s,
yeah, and we're 50s. Told to use minimum kind of 30 to 50.
Absolutely. That's number one. And number two, as we said previously, any kind of a tan skin is actually damaged skin. So regardless, you're just damaging your skin before you go out and do more damage in the sun.
And please ask the doctor about the use of UV lights used by women when we do our nails. Are there any negative effects from these? Because they are used by thousands of women every day.
They are indeed, absolutely. That is probably one of, it's a bit of a newer technology. I think, your dose is your poison. So there is certainly a risk, with UV light using it on the nails per se.
I mean, it's used to harden the nail polish,
yes,
isn't that
yes,
it?
Yes,
that
yes.
It cures the nail
it
polish.
It cures the nails, exactly. But the nails are a tricky one as well. And the nails are an area, a problem area you need to keep a particularly close eye on. When you have a skin lesion such as a skin cancer or even a melanoma, they can occur under the nails, and they do occur quite differently to a lesion elsewhere on your body. So they can sometimes appear almost like a barcode or a stripe down the nail. So it's one of those areas when you are performing self checks, and we absolutely advise you do perform monthly self checks on yourself, that your fingernails are an area that you need to keep a very close eye on.
Mm-hmm. What do you look out for when you say self-check? What are the symptoms of either a BCC or a melanoma?
Absolutely. So they're slightly different. So, melanomas, as we know, are pigmented skin lesions. They come, they're like a mole that's turned bad, essentially. BCCs and SCCs, on the other side of things, we call pink tumors. They don't have pigment in them. They're not made up of melanocytes, those cells that produce the pigment in our tan or our skin color. So really, with pigmented lesions, when you're looking at your own moles and you're concerned for melanoma, you might have heard of the ABCDE rule. So A stands for asymmetry. So really, if you split that mole up or that pigmented lesion, you can split it into halves or you can split it up into 4 quadrants. Does it look the same in all quadrants? Or, does one quadrant stick out and look quite irregular from the other ones? B stands for border. Is it a nice, smooth, round border? Or is that border getting distorted or changing in any way? C stands for color. If you have a mole on your body, generally it's a nice homogenous brown color. If you may notice some irregular colors coming up in that. Sometimes you can see reds, blues, grays, whites, or shades of black or tan. So if you've noticed changes in the color to your mole, that is definitely a red flag. D is for diameter. Most melanomas are greater than 6 millimeters in diameter. And an easy way to remember that is actually, if you think of the eraser on the top of your pencil, it's usually about the same diameter. Now, you can have melanomas that are found smaller than that, but by and large, the vast majority of them are found over 6 millimeters. And then E is just evolution. So any changing mole, if you notice that it's bleeding, itching, causing you pain, causing you any kind of discomfort, that's something to look out for.
What do you do in the Rose Clinic?
Rose Clinic, we're into our third year now, and we essentially offer a rapid access digital dermoscopy and total body imaging modality for our patients. Now, that sounds like a big mouthful, but what we're doing is, unfortunately, in this country, there's a very large waiting list to see dermatologists, and there's over 40,000 people waiting, and there's up to 2 years of a wait list for people waiting for dermatologists in this country. So there are lots of people at home with concerning skin lesions and undiagnosed skin cancers that actually aren't being seen. My father is Professor Paul Redmond, who is a surgeon who has over 30 years experience with melanoma. And we essentially decided to offer this option where people can come in. It's essentially a mole mapping. People don't need a GP referral. They can self-refer themselves in either via our website. They can email us on info@roseclinic.ie. Our website is roseclinic.ie, or they can call in. You can also be referred by your GP. But essentially, we offer a nurse-led imaging package where you get total body photography. Our technology captures all the moles on your body. And then we'll have a head-to-toe in-person face-to-face check by one of our nurses. And then after that, if there are any concerning moles, they will be basically called dermoscopically imaged. That is essentially an imaging modality, which it's essentially like a microscope with a light source. So we can look at your moles at a 10 to 30x magnification. And what this does is it allows us to see inside the moles and to pick up all the very subtle structures in these lesions. And we can basically diagnose dangerous changes in these moles much, much earlier.
Now, it is a private service, so you pay for it. Is it as yet covered by insurance?
Unfortunately, at the moment, we're not covered by insurance. We're working hard with the insurance companies to come to an agreement with that. We've had meetings with the various insurance companies on that.
Early diagnosis means less expensive treatment, basically.
Absolutely, and better outcomes for everyone. You know, we like to think we're getting patients in the need faster treatment, but we're also taking the load off the dermatologists for patients who don't actually need specialist input.
Is it an expensive process?
The cost for a full body screening is €330. We would recommend.
So it's not too different to one of your scans that you might have for another condition.
Absolutely not at all. And that's for a full body, you know, imaging package where we could image up to 100 moles. You know, if you want to come in and just have 5 moles checked, it's about €120.
Okay. Please ask, I used sunbeds when I was a teenager. Am I still at risk now?
So the thing to note about sun damage is that it's cumulative. And an important statistic to know is that by the time you are 18 years of age, you have accumulated around 23% of your lifetime sun damage. So unfortunately, the damage that is there is already done. All you can do going forward is be proactive.
Here's another one. Can you ask the doctor which is worse, being on a sunbed for 8 minutes twice a month and never sitting in the sun, or sitting in the sun for 2 weeks twice a year?
Well, that depends on how long you're sitting in the sun for every day. So really, if you think of a sunbed, lying in an artificial sunbed for 20 minutes is equivalent to about 4 hours out in the sun.
All right. And someone else wants to know, has the intensity of sunlight changed over Ireland? I don't think so.
I think if you're talking about global warming and things like that, you know, it's probably worse in the southern hemispheres like Australia.
Dr. Shane Redmond, Medical Director of the Rose Clinic, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.